The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Appetizer Easter Wednesday, as we find hope where the world offers none. Plus, are you sick of bad news? How about 95 pieces of good news? And finally, eternity. The truth is not for the faint of heart, but for the faith of heart.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio, as you can tell, because it's a little fuzzy, even though I'm on a handset. Oh, my goodness. We're just doing the best we can, but we do have somebody coming in this evening to check all the lines to see what we can come up with. But keep in mind, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Please get through this little fuzziness, and I'll tell you why. The message for today is outstanding. I'm not kidding. It is, to me. I spent 3 hours reviewing some of this material today, and I really think it'll be a blessing for you. I want you to remember what our DNA is. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Draw closer to the Lord. D, never be ashamed. N, A, always be ready. Let me give a quick shout out to Joy and to Cordy. Thank you guys for all your love and support. And also to Eric. Eric, I did get your emails and the corrected email. No problems, no worries. All good. All right, for those that don't know, today is Draw a Bird Day. Good luck with that. I can't even draw, you know, a smiley face, so I'm not going to say much about that. Today is also National Empanada Day. And for those fans of empanadas, I'm not even sure what that is, but it sounds delicious. And then today is also, be careful because your dog might not know what's going behind him, even though it's a burst of wind out of his rear side day. And that's pretty self-explanatory, and I'll let that go all by itself. On this day in 1893, the first recorded college basketball game took place. 1974, on this day, Hank Aaron hit his 715th home run, passing Babe Ruth. And finally, on this day in 1986, Clint Eastwood is elected mayor of Carmel by the Sea in California. Stranger things have not always happened. Okay, let's get into the text. I want to talk to you about Easter, but I'm going to talk to you about Easter in a very different fashion. I'm going to be using the sermon that Peter used in the book of Acts. The sermon that Peter used in the book of Acts. Get this. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 28. And here's what it says. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves also know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body will also live in hope because you have not abandoned me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made me known the paths of life. Listen to this. You will fill me with joy in your presence. The first thing I want to point out, which many people don't know, is when Peter was doing this sermon, this was Peter's first big sermon. After the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, after the ascension of Jesus Christ, this is the big first sermon that Peter does. Fantastic. And so he's quoting portions of Psalm 16, and look at the first thing he says. And this is the first thing I want you to know. Remember, this is Wednesday leading up to Easter Sunday, and here's the first thing Peter says when he's talking to the crowd. He quotes King David, and in Acts chapter 2, verse 26, he says, therefore, my heart is glad. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. Can we, at least for a moment, take a moment and recognize there is so much bad news out there? It's every time you turn on a channel. It's every time that you do any kind of connecting in media. If you're on the internet, if you're talking to people, if you're doing Facebook, there's always something negative, something bad that's flying across the zone.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people, and have so for the last 5 years, from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
Yeah, it's kind of like Houdini. I just disappeared for a minute, and then I came back. Don't worry about it. Here we go. This is something I want you to recognize. With all the bad news that's going on there, with all the bad news that's on the internet, with all the bad news that's on Facebook and all your social medias and all the bad news on television, all that stuff, guess what? There is a reason for your heart to be glad, and it's connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's connected to his resurrection. Do you know? Watch this. Do you know that there are 95 times in the NIV, New International Version, there are 95 times that the word gospel or good news is used? Did you hear that? 95 times. Yes, that's the same number of Martin Luther's theses, but it's 95 times. 95 times the word gospel or good news is used. It's gospel of the kingdom. It's gospel of God. It's gospel of Christ. It's gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's gospel of peace, gospel of grace, gospel of your salvation, and many more. The Bible is filled with good news about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all the stuff you have going on could all be super duper negative, but there is a reason to rejoice. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. We are commanded, we are encouraged, we are pushed forward to be rejoicing in the Lord because Jesus Christ broke the power of death. Everybody is deeply concerned about what death will bring in their lives. But for you and me, who are believers that Jesus died for our sins, it brings us one step closer. death brings you closer to God. Paul said, to depart and be with Christ is far better. And Christians who are genuine in their faith long for the day that the trumpet blows or that the Lord calls them home so they can fellowship and walk hand in hand with their Savior forever and ever. Jesus wanted you and I to focus on the great truth of the good news. Death could not stop Jesus. Death will not stop you. There's a bunch of people in the world, and they believe that once death takes place, everything ceases. There's a whole other group of people in the world that come up with all these different systems on how they're going to do or how they're going to coordinate or manipulate once they die. Only the creator of life can grant extension in life. Only the creator can take you past human death into non-cessation. And here's what I want you to know. God made this promise of his love that he is going to take you to be with him for all eternity. So David, looking forward to the resurrection, says, my heart is glad. And Peter, when he preaches the sermon, says, quotes David, my heart is glad. And you and I, as believers, as Christians, should walk around with our heart as glad. 95 times, God says, good news. Good news. Good news for you. Good news for me. Good news for us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is, my friends, my brothers and my sisters, good news. It doesn't matter all the other news when you recognize that news. The gospel of the kingdom of God, of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, the gospel of grace, the gospel of your salvation. Hallelujah. All right. Take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost five grandchildren. He has three separate ordinations from three different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. This is show number 10 out of the Spoon Studios, and you'd be thinking, well, by now, Dave, you should probably have it all put together. And here's my answer to that. Yeah, not even close. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw a trivia question out. We're going to try and do our read for our live reads, and we're going to do the best we can, and that's the best we can do. And we hope it's a blessing for you. That's what we'd say. So let's start off with the trivia question. I think it's a pretty easy one. Let's see what people can do. Remember, you got to text it to 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here's the trivia question. What did Joshua command to stand still? He told a few things to stand still. What were they? 214-210-8483. A quick reminder, I don't want you to forget, our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. It's on the website that we have different video, we have different audio, and then we have different opportunities. If you want to participate and give, we would greatly appreciate that. Giving's just a little bit down, but the people that are doing the best they can, we greatly, 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 greatly appreciate that. And if you can't give, but your heart's there, I love it. I pray God blesses it, gives it that opportunity to give, and we simply say, join us in prayer. Join our struggle by praying with us. That would be the coolest thing in the world. If you want to email me, david@hemustincrease.org, that's david@hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now we're going to hear from our ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services, smoke, wind, flood cleanup, everything and anything, Mr. Restore is there to help you. Keeping it easy, MrRestore.com. Mr. M-R, Mr. Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E, Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E, .com. You can also get to them by going to our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. See, that's pretty simple. All right, we got some people that are answering. I'm going to give people a little extra time. You'll know if you're right because I'll give the answer probably towards the end of this segment. But I do, here's the question. What did Joshua command to stand still? Okay, there it is, 214-210-8483. Joshua said something to things, and what was that? 214-210-8483. Going to get to that in a second. I want to get to this second segment because you guys are going to think I've lost my mind, which isn't entirely incorrect. But there is something really cool in this whole portion that Peter was talking about. Because remember, this is Peter's first big sermon after the ascension, so after the death, burial, and resurrection, after Jesus ascends and after the Holy Spirit falls, Peter addresses the people after the power of the Spirit falls upon them, and the first thing he does is he kind of sets it up by talking about Jesus being nailed to the cross, but that could not keep him down, and then he goes into quoting Psalm 16, talking about King David, who's looking forward to the resurrection. You think, well, why would he go into a psalm if he's talking about Jesus in the present day? Because going back into the psalm and connecting the prophecies that's talked about Jesus Christ gives validity to what he was saying. And so then he was sharing, and he sees verse 26 of what he was quoting, and this is in Acts 2:26, says, "Therefore my heart is glad." We just talked about that because that has to do with the 95 times in the New Testament. The NIV version says 95 times the word good news is used. That's pretty cool. It's probably actually a little bit more, but let's just go with that for now. And then he says, "My heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, and my body also lives in hope." And this is the thing that separates the Christians from people who aren't Christian. And that is, we have a living hope in a living God. And our hope, the resurrection, is the anchor to our soul. Now, I am not a nautical guy, so don't get mad at me. I did grow up in a family, it was a very wealthy family, who had multiple boats, and I took the multiple boats out multiple times. And I can tell you this about an anchor. When we would go out in Michigan on Walnut Lake and we would drop anchor, the boat would not go anywhere. Now, we were a little different, so we were a little crazy. We would drop the anchor and turn the boat on and put it in a circle so it would go round and round and round and round and round because we were goofy like that. But the point is, the anchor keeps you from wandering off, from going down to the wrong path or the wrong trail. It keeps you more centered. And for the Christian, the hope is where he says, "My body will live in hope because you will not abandon me to the grave. The resurrection is that hope." And I want you to understand how important this is, because it's all about the eternity. I'm tired of seeing bumper stickers, "It's all about the journey, man." No, it's not all about the journey, man. If you end up going to hell, it doesn't matter how good your journey was. That's a terrible ending. It's all about the destination, not about the journey. And in Matthew chapter 28, listen to this. Matthew chapter 28, 5 through 7 says this. The angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead." This message is unlike any other message in any other faith, in any other place on the entire planet. This is the message where we turn and we point to a tomb and there's nothing there. Nothing. There's no bones about it. They point to the tombs of their prophets and we point to an empty tomb from our Messiah. Now listen to this. I could do this for hours and hours and days and days. That's the problem. Here it is, Job 19, 25 through 26. Listen to this. "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God." For all those theologians that say, well, the Old Testament doesn't talk about the resurrection, oh my goodness, could you please just read it? Here, Job is like, my body is going to decay, and yet I am going to see God. And that resurrection, I want you to know something about the resurrection that'll just blow your mind. That is the door that changes the entire game. The resurrection changes everything. In fact, if you read Paul and get into the theology, the underlying theology, he pretty much makes the argument in 1 Corinthians 14, 15, 16, and in several other places, that the reason that we put up with everything that we put up with is because of the resurrection. In fact, here, I'll give you one, I'll do you one better. You're looking at, and this obviously comes from Scripture, you're looking at your situation or circumstance, and sometimes it can look daunting, it can look bad, it can look rough, it can look terrible. But the moment you insert eternity into that picture, it changes it. Oh my goodness, I can't pay my car bill. Insert eternity. I could care less that I can't pay my car bill because in 100 years, I won't have a car bill. I won't have a car. That's right. In the face of eternity, these draining circumstances lose their power. And that's how you got to think. Now, you're thinking, well, Dave, are you doing that perfectly? Are you serious? You're not really asking me that question, right? You guys know better than that. I know what's right, and I aspire to walk in what's right, but I walk far behind what is right. I desire to attain it, but I have not yet reached it. And here's the bottom line. That doesn't mean that you and I can't work on it piece by piece, growing better, wiser, functioning smarter, using the power of the resurrection as our hope. Listen, there are hopes out there that are so weak, and the world's hope offers nothing but the hope that comes from God to live eternally, to resurrect, to know that your death is not the end, but a door, is so powerful, it will bring you comfort and joy. If you're lacking joy, I promise you're not considering the eternity of the situation. There's just no question about that. Okay? It's really important to understand how deeply, deeply cornerstoned the life of Jesus Christ and his resurrection are to our faith and to us moving forward in the kingdom of God. Get that? All right, we're going to take our break, but I am going to give you the answer. Got several people that texted in, and the answer was the moon and the sun and the moon. That's what stood still for Joshua at the behest of the Lord. Joshua didn't actually command it. The Lord stopped it. And, yeah, that does a lot of things messing up with time, but that's fun in and of itself, isn't it? Okay. We're going to take our break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle-age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, so I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
You got me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, as we are broadcasting out of Spoon Studios, which is the nicest way to say I'm calling in on a phone to the studio and doing the show, holding a phone to my ear, which is rather funny because I like talking with my hands, and I can't do that. So if you're going to pray for me, that's the thing you want to pray for right there. Okay. If you want to reach out and touch base to us, you're welcome to do so. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. HeMustIncrease.org. That is our website, HeMustIncrease.org. David@HeMustIncrease.org is our email. You could go on the roof and shout as loud as you want and go, "Hey, David," but I can promise you, you probably won't reach fate. Because that's where we're out of right now. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner. One of our favorite people, her and her husband, Tony, great, great brothers and sisters in the Lord, first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales, doesn't matter what it is. All you got to do is reach out to Kimberly, 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES. Now, look, even if you just have a question, if you're like, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? That sounds like my grandchild. 903-48-HOMES. Get in touch with Kimberly. Let her know that you heard it here on the David Spoon Experience. Also, you can reach her through our website, HeMustIncrease.org, as we have a link that will help you get to her. All right, so I want to do a recap because this part is really important. Okay. I'm talking about Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 28, and I'm using this as an appetizer for Easter. Tomorrow we're going to have the meal, and then on Friday we're going to have dessert. It's not literal, so please everybody understand that we're talking figuratively and metaphorically. Bottom line is this. When Peter was doing his first sermon, what he did was he laid out the reality that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, and then he went back into the Psalms to use David's words as verification for the events that took place. The first thing he says when he goes through that is he talks about the fact that his heart is full of gladness. He is glad. He's happy. His tongue rejoices. And this is David looking forward, knowing the resurrection was coming, knowing what was forthcoming. He talks about the joy that's in his heart. We talked about 95 times in the NIV, it talks about good news versus all the bad news that's out there. Okay? The gospel's full of good news. And by the way, it's more current than your newspaper, just in case you don't know that. Second, he says, my body will live in hope because you'll not abandon me to the grave. And that's just really talking about the resurrection, the eternity, the foundation of our faith. If we are just in this life only, if there's no resurrection, Paul said, we are of all people most miserable. It's like, why would we go through what we go through if there's no reason to go through this? We put up with spiritual warfare that people don't even know about. People that think that Christianity is just some kind of opiate have never really experienced Christianity, because not only do we get the best friend in the world, we got the worst possible enemy who hates us at every turn. And if you don't think he's active, he's doing such a good job, he's fooled you. And so you got to be aware there's an enemy that's against you. And this is part of it. That resurrection, that not being stuck in the grave, that's the reason for our hope. That's the reason we endure through the faith. That's why we go through the trials and the tribulations. The next thing he says is so strange, you'll say, well, how does this connect to Easter? And I'm going to tell you. So this is a real big first sermon for Peter. He talks about the good news, and that referring to David, his heart is glad, referring to David won't be abandoned to the grave. And then he says this. He says, you have made known to me the paths of life. This is the next verse. Listen to what I said. You have made known to me the paths of life. Part of Easter is understanding that God has made known to you and I the paths of life. The first path is a living relationship with the living God. The first thing that we want to do is connect. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about religious practices. We're talking about a relationship. And people that don't understand this, I'm going to make it as clear as I can, and I'm not trying to belittle anybody, so please don't misunderstand my spirit here. When you have a relationship, you have communication that takes place on both sides. The Word of God is how He shares with us on a regular basis, and our prayer time is how we share with Him. That's the basis of our relationship. Communication is at the center. And that living relationship is what sustains and strengthens us. When Jesus was waiting for the disciples to come back with the groceries, if you'll remember, he came back and they were like, okay, Jesus, now it's time to eat. Now it's time for you to eat, Jesus. And Jesus is like, I have meat that you don't even know about. He has, and they're sitting there thinking, what, somebody bring him a deli sandwich while nobody was looking? What happened? And Jesus was in this communion with the Father, and that, by the way, was his sustaining strength through his entire ministry. It's how he started ministry, by hanging out with the Father in the desert, resisting temptation, and it's how he ended ministry before he ascended to his next ministry. Always connected to the Father, always until that one moment where sin was laid upon him. And as they say, the Father looked away. Theologically, yeah, but that's not the point. The point is really good. Here's the bottom line, though. That path of life that God has made known to you, that's part of Easter. That's part of the resurrection. That's part of this whole process, the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, that God has opened up a path. And then I want to give you that next step, because the first path is a living relationship with God. But this next, the other part of the path has to do with us trusting Him, us asking Him, us being sensitive to Him. It's not just in that one way where you pray and you read and you pray and you read and there's nothing else that happens. Here's other things that happen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. He will make the pathway straight if you trust Him. That trust is built out of that communion. In James 1, 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given. You should ask Him as you commune with Him and ask Him. You find out that the things you ask that are in accordance with His will, He does those things. He answers those prayers. Don't you find it amazing that when you pray for a Lamborghini, you don't get it, but when you pray for patience, you find 500 trials in a row? That's not a coincidence. That's how the Lord does it. And it's not just a matter of trusting him and asking him, but it's also, watch this. This is so cool. It's like my fave part. This is connected to Easter. This is connected to the resurrection. We're also required to be sensitive to him. And you think, what scripture says be sensitive to God? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. Exodus 12 through 13. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there, so I said goodbye, and I left them and went on to Macedonia. It wasn't that God shut down what he was doing. God enabled him to get to where he was trying to go, but it wasn't the landing place he needed to be at. So even though he went to Troas to preach, even though he had a door, once he got there, it was like, I don't know if this is right. And that sensitivity came about because he said, I had no peace of mind. My spidey senses were going off. It wasn't right. It didn't sit. It didn't fit. Well, that's not, you don't rely on your peace of mind as your only aspect of being guided, but it's a part of it. A part of it's in prayer, a part of it's in word, a part of it's in counsel, a part of it's in trust, a part of it's in asking, a part of it's being sensitive. It's all part and parcel to the paths of life, which comes because of Easter, because of the resurrection, because of the gospel, because of the good news. Not only do you have a reason to rejoice and be glad, which is fabulous since there's so much rottenness going on. Not only do you have an understanding that God will not abandon you in a grave. Once you die, it's not over. He doesn't turn his back on you, but he will pull you up. Even if your body sees full decay, he's going to pull you up, put your feet upon a rock, put a new song in your mouth, and your life is going to go on for eternity. With all of that, while you're doing this, he's going to give you directions and help and guide you through the paths of life. And you don't hear a lot about the paths of life are connected to Easter, but it's all based in that. It's all connected to that. Because this all has to do with our communion with the Lord. You get that? If you think that's good, you should see the next segment coming up. You're going to go, what? That spoon guy, he's lost his mind. Yeah, well, that might be true. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is through the resurrection, through this Easter process that we understand as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, Friday's here, but Sunday's coming kind of mentality. There's rejoicing and there's joy. There is an excitement to understand that the grave is a door, not an end, and God will show you now the paths of life. And when we get back, we look at probably one of the coolest of all of the things. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach out to us, you're welcome to say howdy. You just got to do it through a text. So if you're going to text me and say howdy, you got to put something like with Texas slang. 214-210-8483. Just keeping everybody straightforward. We're doing an Easter appetizer today. We're doing an Easter meal tomorrow and then an Easter dessert on Friday, all leading up to hopefully what you guys will be able to do on Easter Sunday and the whole Easter weekend, perhaps whether you're doing your church online or however you're approaching the fellowship. We just want to encourage it because it's an important time. And in my own spirit, how I kind of see things that are going on is regardless of the right and the wrong, there's certainly some deficiency in the Easter time. And this all taking place now. So I want to do what I can to add to it and encourage people to be very thoughtful, very mindful of the resurrection. Not that I am particularly one who celebrates Easter above and beyond like a lot of people do. I'm Jewish. I don't do that. And I'm just telling you right now, I think every day is Resurrection Sunday. Every day is Easter. Every day I wake up and I ask God for forgiveness, redemption, cleansing, washing, helping me go walk through it and get through it and help me remember that eternity's in play here and I don't have to freak out about what happens today. I mean, I do that every day. And I've been doing that for 40-plus years, and it's what got me through. It's what keeps me in the faith. I'm just telling you what works for me. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, then you let me know what works for you, and I'll encourage people to try that as well. Here's the bottom line. We've talked about 3 points so far out of Peter's message. The first one is him quoting King David and talking about joy and gladness in his heart. This is all because of the resurrection, all because the Holy One won't see decay, which is kind of a big verse that I didn't use on this on purpose. It says, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Happy, happy, happy. My body will live in hope because you will not abandon me to the grave. Happy, happy, happy. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. That's all about the resurrection of Christ. You have made known to me the paths of life. So we get to know that there's rejoicing. We get to know that there is eternity. We get to know that there's paths of life. Okay? The last one is the coolest. And then he says this, and I've taught this verse 100 times. I love this verse. And this is what he says. You will fill me with joy in your presence. I love this. Listen, this is so important. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Just in case you don't know, okay? Just in case you don't know, okay? When you're in eternity, as in Revelation eternity, like, you know, Streets of Gold eternity, you will consistently be in the presence of God. Why does that matter and why is that important? because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And I've mentioned this before. I've only said it in passing because it's kind of a deep subject, but I don't think our bodies or our spirits or our beings right now could take fully being in the presence of God as we are right now, because I think we'd explode from the level of joy. So we need the resurrection to happen so we can have new bodies so that we can enjoy his presence and not explode from his presence. And you think, well, why is it so important to be in the presence of the Lord? I will tell you on this side, why it's so important. Not on the other side. On this side of the grave, why it is so important. On this side of the door. His presence is important because in his presence now, watch this, is the fullness of joy. Now, this is something I want you to catch. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And you think, well, okay, Dave, I know that. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I mean, yeah, I got it. Yeah, but wait. But you're forgetting Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah 8:10 says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why being in the presence of the Lord now, though it's much more limited to what it will be later, why that's so important is because that joy in his presence is your strength. You try to figure out how to sustain, there it is. You're thinking, well, it's this. Now, remember, this is the same one where the people are like, you know, they made up the song, if you want joy, you must clap for it. If you want joy, you must dance for it. If you want... Okay, got it. But that, none of that's true. If you want joy, okay, if you want joy, that will be your strength. Then you want the presence of the Lord. And guess what? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can access the presence of God any time you want. You know what keeps you from accessing the presence of God? Your flesh. Your, well, whether it's the old nature or the sarks, the flesh, I could care less. That part of you that doesn't like God, that's rebellious, that's the part that keeps you away. And keep in mind, just so that we're having fun with this, keep in mind that if the joy is your strength, just a little thing to remember, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. And if that joy is your strength, then you need all the joy that you can get. Which again goes back to that first process, my heart is glad. Oh, in the world it's a mess. You think it's a mess now? You wait. If the Lord tarries like we consider tarrying, it won't be tarrying on his part, but in our mind, if it's delayed, his return is delayed, it's going to be so much worse. It's not even funny. But here's the great part. Who cares? I can still go into the presence of the Lord. I can still find strength in his presence. I can still hang out with God. I can still find joy and strength to go, yeah, I'm getting through this. Because that joy is my strength, and that joy comes from his presence, and I can access that presence 24/7 because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' death put me in a position where I'm not an enemy with God, but Jesus' resurrection put me in a position where I'm friends with God. It's one thing not to be an enemy. It's another thing to be a friend. Get that? So one is where you get that, man, that's where really the mercy comes into play because, you know, God's not going to judge you, and the death of Jesus Christ made that cool, made it so that animosity stops. But the resurrection of Jesus makes it so that we have the grace part, the mercy part comes in the death, the grace part comes in the resurrection because now we are friends with God. You can never earn that. You can never deserve that. And so we get the grace and mercy in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it's a place for our joy, and it's like, hallelujah! That's what we need, especially with all the stuff. And again, I'm telling you right now, no matter what they go through, if it's 5 years from now and we're doing the same thing, it will be something else. It will be. But it will be the same truth that will march on all the way through. The same truth. Cultures change, nations change, people change. The truth does not change. And so we want to have be in his presence. We want to be around the presence of God as much as we can, because joy comes from that presence, that engagement of presence, which I do a whole other sermon on. There's, you know, presence in prayer, presence in fellowship, presence in giving, presence in serving. There's all these different things that we can get into. I'm not doing that right now. Here's the bottom line. We want the fullness of his presence so we can have the fullness of his joy so that we can have the fullness of strength. That's it. It's not, you know, one plus two plus three, six. That's the answer, six. So here's what I'm trying to say. You want the presence of the Lord. All of these are connected to the resurrection, to Easter. The rejoicing part, the recognizing eternity part, the catching on that there's paths of life, directions that God can give us and walks us through and lightens our path, and that in his presence is the fullness of joy. All of this is connected to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of it. And it's like, wow. Are you trying to say, Dave, that Christianity centers around the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Yes. When Paul was giving his testimony in Acts chapter 23, and there were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and you know how Paul split them apart? He goes, I'm on trial because I believe in the resurrection. The people were like, and they started freaking out. That's all he had to say. Because there are many of us who are passionate in our confidence that there are no bones about it, and it's an empty tomb. Get that? How cool is that? I wish our first segment had no background noise or whatever, because I would replay this on Saturday for sure. I want this to be a blessing for you. Remember these things. Remember these blessings that come out of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember the blessings of Easter, my brothers and my sisters and my friends. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.